culture news. This month, navigate the falling sensation described in our disco thrash column with Lydia Hall's Some Dreamers of the Golden Dream, a soothing melange found in our under review section. Pick up a copy of Discorder at Cranky Cafe on Main and allow the fast-paced rhythms of Chain Whip to bring you to life on chilly days. Or swing by Side Hustle Sandwiches and bask in the calm vistas of our feature on Mother Sun. Enjoy an empowering chat with Nadu and discover the spirit of resilience with Arizo, an exhibition of the experiences of queer communities in Iran. Welcome to a new era. Start off your new year with a new skill. This spring, Emily Carr University's Continuing Studies is proud to offer courses and workshops online and in person. Choose from over 100 courses, from weekend workshops designed for beginners to skills-focused certificate programs. Whether you're seeking an artistic outlet or looking to add to your professional skill toolkit, Emily Carr has you covered. From painting to print media, industrial design to web design, there's something for everyone. Find your fit at ecuad.ca/cs. Register now and commit to your creative future.
God gave me a voice for the world to hear, and said I got two choices, faith or fear. I see my cup half full, so let's make a cheers. So many of my peers seem to disappear, but who left, who's still here? It's pretty clear, I'm fighting back, the face of death with the face of tears. Almighty got my soul, the devil trying to make a deal. Tell him chill, looking in the mirror, wondering how I made it here. Lost a lot, they said I'll make it back tenfold. So I stayed solid, you know I kept it ten toes. Hot-headed, hot-blooded, they want my heart cold. They say you for numbers and stripes with your barcode. All these burnt bridges, I used to light my charcoal. I gotta keep cooking, so I play my part, though. I've been fishing in the deep and swimming with sharks, whoa. Can't be a corpse on the shore, I gotta stay afloat. For sure. Everything I do is from my heart, it's not for show. Whoa, it's for the ghetto. And everybody working OT, trying to make it home. Get your bread up. If you want 100 million, then go get 100 million. Do not settle for no less. Yeah, you fed up. How the dice may roll, but you gotta keep on shaking till your numbers they show. Yes, do not let up if you try and be a pro. Everybody know you gotta work for the progress. Gotta get up even when feeling low, cause it's blue skies above all the clouds and the storms. Yeah,
I said the blue skies above all the clouds and storms. There's blue skies above all the clouds and storms, yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's blue skies above all the clouds and storms. Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's blue skies above all the clouds and the storms.
Life's good like dinner at LeBron's house. Yeah, it was good, but not better than at mom's house. Top chef flew to Akron to play the all out. Word to Mike, remember we stayed at Rich Paul's house. What a life enticed by the size of the compound. Wanna snoop around like the rapper from Dog Pound. Can't lie, had to remind myself, calm down. He a king, you a king, guess we found common ground. Black tinted Panamera to the Greyhound. Back home in 7 hours, 4-1, eastbound. Taking off a VP, yeah, at GG's house. 7 a.m. class to get my college degree now. Trizzy pulling up to the stool where my school was in Rolls Royce. Same time, him and Abel drop Crew Love. Assembling my team to win prayer, spot out the Judas. Tired of hearing big nose, yeah, just like a Judas. Word to Jules Cruz, nothing were the same. Head in the clouds with my eyes filled with flames. Passion in the eye, burn the gas in my tank. Make sure the blood on the money ain't from the blood in my veins. Wanna be able to build a block up, not just with the stains. So much gold in my bars, not just in my chains. Major moves with a minor pain to be overpaid. For every time I was overlooked, like I was a minor thing, I'm yelling. Get your bread up. If you want 100 million, then go get 100 million. Do not settle for no less. Yeah, you fed up. How the dice may roll, but you gotta keep on shaking till your numbers they show. Yes, do not let up if you try and be a pro. Everybody know you gotta work for the pro. Cause gotta get up even when feeling low, cause it's blue skies above all the clouds and the storms, yeah.
I said the blue skies above all the clouds and the storms. Ooh, I said the blue skies above all the clouds and the storms, yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. The blue skies above all the clouds and the storms. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here, live broadcasting from the most western part of the mainland, from the unceded territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I bring to you Off the Beaten Path here on CITR 101.9, the only radio station you should be tuned into. I'm your host. If you've never been to my path, or if you've ever been off beat, I'm sure some of you listeners have, I welcome you. You know, it's like off beat. Listen, we got a lot. What we'd like to do here is we like to talk about, you know, just what's going on in the world, what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on in Canada, what's going on in the, you know, what connects us all. And the type of foolishness, sometimes we can laugh at it, and sometimes it's pretty serious. And I know as we head into this holiday season, you know, and things are open, but they feel like they might get closed down. I know that there are people who are rushing out to, you know, to try and get their social fix filled. And it's Tuesday night. You just tuned into Crimes and Treasons, one of the best hip-hop and R&B shows in Canada in the last decade. And now you're here with Off the Beaten Path. Listen, now you want to get informed. You want to know what's going on. So when you go to these parties and you have to network and you have to make small talk, you're like, you can sound a little bit interesting. You know, you can sound a little bit like you know what's going on. You know, and also, I hope to touch on music that makes you interested in artists that you might not normally listen to. Or stories that you might not have heard of, you know, you can go and look a little deeper. Like, this is, you know, what this show is all about. Anyways, let's get started. So, I like to give a weather forecast for the next week, so you know what to expect. And as you look into the weekend, you know, you can start to plan your weekend. Maybe you can start to plan those holiday parties, or, you know, those holiday outings before the Omicron, before this virus comes and shuts us down. Well, if you're here in Vancouver, you know that it snowed over the past few days. Well, actually, I can't remember. One of the problems with working from home, that, like, I try to tell people who don't work from home, it's like, yeah, it's nice, but it's also not nice. It's like, I can't remember which day. Like, I know that it's a work day. There's just, like, work days, and then there's days that I don't work. And sometimes those work days are not just, like, the days that I work. You know what I'm saying? So, I just know that it snowed on a work day. I think today's Tuesday. Obviously, I'm here. But I can't remember if it snowed on Sunday or Monday. But anyways, we don't have any snow coming up. At least for the next few days. And that's nice, because you might be able to see the sun tomorrow, if you're lucky, depending on where you live at here in the Lower Mainland. And that's not a guarantee in this part, but, you know, sun, I'll take it. With the high of 6 and then a low of -2 as we get into Thursday and Friday. So it's going to be a cold weekend. I see, if you need heaters, or if you need, like, a space heater, I see a lot of them on Facebook Marketplace. So, listen, reduce, reuse, recycle. This show, this host, this station, I feel like I can speak for CITR, we promote recyclability and using other people's things that they don't want anymore. So, space heaters is something that people frequently give away and sell for cheap. But this show, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's some things that I've seen on, like, listen, if you listen to the show, you know that I've seen CBC do some pretty shameful things, you know, some pretty shameful headlines, and often misleading. But what I have for you after the break takes the cake. And I don't know what the season is, but it seems to be the season of fraud. Like, I have heard some people who have committed fraud this December, from people I personally know to famous people I'll never fucking meet. You know what I mean? And so if you have a story of fraud, you want to talk about somebody or something fraudulent that you've seen this holiday season. I'm all about the scams and the holidays. I think it's funny. I'm all about the heist too, but I'm all about the scams. So if you've seen some fraud, you've heard somebody get caught up with some funny money, you can call in. The number is 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. And when we get back, we're not going to go into some fraud, but it is, it's worse.
Jokes in a midnight, smoking in the corridor and cabin at home. You just wanna sit like stones and watch all the people go like they're animals. You can make me feel so far when we're so close. Cornered by the thought of getting crushed by the ceiling.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. I tried to do it like the commercial did, you know, but I'm just me, you know. Please, I want to hear your fraud stories. I'm sure there's been some fraudulent shenanigans going on. Like I said, the number is 604-UBC-CITR. It's easy. 822-2487. Also easy. Anyways, let me get back. So, like I said, there's been some shenanigans and some fraudulent behavior that's been going on. And the number one, I wouldn't say the number one propagator of that is the CBC. But listen, they make headlines that make you listen. I don't know who this is, but we're going to put them on. Let's see what type of. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello, is this Issa?
Yeah, this is Issa. How's it going?
Oh, man, I can barely hear you. They're like super jumbled on.
Can you hear me? Can I hear? Can you hear?
Can you change the levels a bit?
Oh, yeah, we'll try to, how about that? Oh, sorry. Sorry. I bet they had a great story, though. This one is, we'll have to try again. We'll have to try that one again later because, listen, I want to hear your stories. Anyway, so this is the CBC. Listen, they say, this is like one of those silver lining moments. So the headline is, retreating glaciers could create new salmon habitat. BC study shows. So they say SFU researchers have said that over 6,000 kilometers of new streams could be accessible by the fish by the year 2100. The retreat of the glaciers in the Pacific Mountains of the British Columbia and Alaska could produce thousands of kilometers of potential new salmon habitat. Let's say salmon. I don't know. I don't think I've ever said salmon like that. So y'all can laugh and make fun of me if you'd like. Anyways, back to the point. How can they be sure? Like, how can we be certain that there will be, like, enough salmon to reproduce in the year 2100? How can anyone, at the trajectory that we're going, at least if you, like me, I believe in climate change and I believe in the things that these people are saying. But if I also believe in what they're saying, there's no way we, 2100, that doesn't seem like it makes sense, right? I don't know. Like, there's so much conflicting information. Like, I actually have another story to talk about, which is about how there's a lot of conflicting information about this type of things, you know? I watched Seaspiracy on Netflix. I was pretty convinced that by the year 2050, we're not going to have any fish in the sea. So, like, I don't understand how we can also have fish, but then by 2100, also believe that we'll have enough rivers for salmon. And I think that if we are, I guess you got to be kind of 2100. I guess it won't matter because everybody who's listening to this and everybody they know, everybody you know, will no longer be here. We'll all be dust. So I guess good luck to the salmon 78 years from now. I hope that it happens, but I feel like that's the CBC's playing some trickery on me somehow. This story, when I read it, really got me for multiple reasons. You'll find out because while this is fraud, I've heard worse stories. And so this one is about, I don't know if you have been watching, I don't know how much news that you consume on a daily basis. I feel like the only news that I consume about BC is when I prepare for the show, which is throughout the week. And so one of the reasons why I started doing the show, because I felt like I didn't know anything about what was going on here in BC. And I learned that there's lots of stuff. There's lots of weird stuff. But also, it's not like, it's not sexy. But this one, this story is very interesting. Because I couldn't imagine how mad I would be if it happened to me. So there was a woman who was working at the BC Women's Hospital as a fake nurse for more than a year. And she was just found out, I guess, when they were doing like an audit about a complaint about the department. And they found out that she was not actually a real nurse. And this woman also had similar claims from another hospital in Ontario. So this woman had been pretending to be a nurse for almost the past 8 years. And so, first, how awful would it be? Like, how awful would it be to find out that the person who was taking care of you, because the types of procedures that this woman was a part of, I don't really want to talk about them on the radio, but you can go look them up. It's like a long list. Very intimate procedures. And so I just couldn't imagine just finding out that this person didn't know what the hell they were doing. But also, how did this woman pretend this whole time? She must have knew what she was doing, right? You know, like, I don't understand how you could, like, this, like, it's not like this woman pretended to get a job where she wouldn't have to go to work. Like, this woman was going to work 3-4 times a week, you know, pulling 12-hour shifts. And they keep trying to send her to jail. I was like, why don't they send this lady to school? You know what I mean? I feel like that would make more sense. Like, this woman clearly, I mean, some of her patients described her as rude and mean to her coworkers, not to the patient, but to her coworkers. And so obviously, like, I mean, that's not good. But I feel like if you're going to spend, you know, $15,000, $20,000 putting someone in jail who's pretending to be a nurse, maybe you could just send them to nursing school. It's a little cheaper than jail. And you get a nurse out of it, you know? And you take somebody who's committed a crime. Listen, that's the type of, like, society I, like, want to live in, you know, where we can think about these creative solutions for you know, for unique problems. This woman's pretending to be a nurse. She wanted a job. You know, let's make her employable rather than a burden. It makes sense to me. This man who is a burden, we're going to talk about when we get back. It's not going to shock you, but at the same time, you'll be like, damn, that trash.
Transcare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Look at you, myself. Look at me so vital. That ain't how you smile. Oh, I like you when you talk down. Turn the radio down. I like you when you talk down. Turn the radio down. Listen to the band by the band. Honey, I hold your hand. Your eyes look tired. I like you when you talk down. Turn the radio down.
Would you speak? I might I've been to listen to ya. My car, my car. Best sleep in the back of my car. I link you with you. Talk, yeah.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. 8 to 10 every Tuesday. It's Crimes and Treasons. Jamal Steeles, Malik, Relly Rails, myself. Playing the hottest hip-hop and R&B in the country. Like, you're listening to CITR, so you already know the other radio stations suck. Because this is how you found CITR, you know? Maybe you heard about CITR and the type of quality programming that CITR has all week. Every day, something new, something different. You can just tune in, and I'm sure there will be a show playing and you're like, wow, I wish this was on more than once a week. You know what? And maybe it is. Sometimes the shows are syndicated. You can just tune in anytime. You might hear me or one of your other favorite hosts. And also, it's giving season. So if you're thinking about making a donation in someone else's name, you know, for a Christmas gift, which is a great Christmas gift, if you're thinking about it, you know, maybe not for, you know, the materialistic people in your life, but, you know, if you're thinking about getting a Christmas gift for me, you know, give a donation in my name to something. You can do that. Or the show's name, Off the Beaten Path, if you really like it. That'd be nice. I don't have anything to give you, but you would feel better. Anyways, you can just donate to straight to CITR because CITR puts on camps for kids. It puts on its programming for all types of people here who need a place to have their voices heard. It gives a nice space for kids to teach kids how to DJ, teach kids how to get into radio, and teach kids how to write magazines, and a place for people in the city to showcase their art. It's a great organization that you should spend your money on. And I think they're hiring positions. So if you're listening and you're like, you know, I hate my corporate job, listen, you can come work at CITR. I heard it's nice. Anyways, back to the stories. So this one might not surprise you, but it's still sad nonetheless, because I feel like it is a theme when talking about people and people who it's particularly when talking about like violence or talking about violence against women, particularly, you know, people often say, you know, often question why don't they go through the quote, you know, proper channels to make complaints and things like that, and make complaints and try to get justice that doesn't exist in these systems because of people like Vice Admiral Hayden Edmondson, who was the Canadian military's commander in charge of human resources, and he has just been recently charged with sexual assault. And so it's, if you read the stories about some of the things that this man has been accused of, it, like, if you've heard stories about the military, you know, and it doesn't surprise you, which is the kind of sad part. I think we talked about this last week and the week before about how we have become so desensitized to things. And while not being desensitized, it's just like, damn, you know, the head of HR, like, where else do you go to if you can't do that? Like, I'm sure people listening to this you know, radio station, have HR. And while if you listen to me, I'll tell you, you should never trust HR because HR works for your job. They don't work for you, you know, so they only are looking out for you, only looking out for you in the extent that they're looking out for their job. So that's something that you are probably a worker should probably always remember. And two, you would think that like as things as egregious and, you know, as the things that, and as we've learned over, you know, at least, you know, we should have learned a long time ago, but, you know, we've been, these things have become more aware since these latest years and these movements that have been happening to raise the visibility of people and their claims. We still see, like, with this military case, obviously, and, you know, with the Washington Redskins and, you know, the things that their management have been accused of, and really almost every sports franchise. I feel like there's so many sports franchises and all of these typical professions that house these type of male, hyper-masculine, feel like above the law. We see that this is the type of behavior that is permeated through, and so it's just fucked up. And it's like, how do you get the head of HR of the military out of the way? You know, like, what type of, like, there's no way for someone to, it seems like the problem is so far beyond. It's like, okay, what do you do? I don't have the answers, but I read that story and it was very, very disgusting. And when I think of, yeah, it's, and these are supposed to be institutions that they want people like me and you to believe in and believe that when they make decisions to, you know, invade other countries or, you know, when they make decisions to invade their own citizens and, you know, in lands here in BC, you're like, but you're supposed to be on these people's team. That doesn't make any sense. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about of one more citizen who's thinking of taking up fraud as a career, and it almost worked. When we're back.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Nowadays, I don't really want to hold back.
Back it off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and sorry to my grandmother. Like I told you guys last week, she said I cussed too much, and I told you we got to keep her listening to the show, you know? So we got to tone it down. An ex-executive at BC's car sales regulator was removed after posing as a lawyer. This woman was not a lawyer. If you saw this picture of this woman, you would be like, she kind of looks like a lawyer. You know what I mean? Kind of looks like a lawyer. I'm not shocked that people were fooled. She was found out because people were questioning the leadership at the VSA board, and they oversee all of the car sales and truck sales in BC. And that's gotta suck. You know, you're just doing your job, and then, you know, they just come and find out that you are a fraud. Because it's not these fraud, like, who the hell cares who's on the head of the organization that regulates car sales in BC? Like, I don't understand. I mean, maybe that's just like, maybe there's some big, probably big scheme that you could run. But I just feel like that's probably a job nobody wants anyways. You know, like, who's gunning for that job? It seems like. Seems like it, but I don't know. You know, there's lots of jobs that people do that I would have zero interest in. And, you know, somebody wants to lie to get it. It's like, okay, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, I guess I don't drive anyway, so I guess it doesn't make a difference in my life. But one of those jobs that I probably wouldn't sign up for, not because I don't see clear benefit in doing it, but I just feel like you have got to deal with some bullshit probably every day. And that's a flight attendant. Like, I see the benefits of being a flight attendant. Like, you could just fly. Like, I have flight attendant friends. And, yeah, like, you know, they have, like, these long legs. But then they get free flights. And you can go anywhere if you like. I feel like that would be a cool perk of a job. Or have a friend who was a flight attendant. I had a friend who was a flight attendant. But then I was no longer friends. So didn't get any perks. So I feel like I got gypped. But Anyways, so, but this flight attendant on this Delta flight, and I always, Delta has really nice flight attendants, so I know this must have been a little disturbing when they saw this woman who was breastfeeding her cat on the plane and refused to stop and put her cat back in the carrier. I looked into the story because I wanted to see, like, okay, she couldn't have been, like, actually breastfeeding the cat. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, this woman's not a cat. But I guess apparently she was. And, yeah, and they tried to remove her. And I just couldn't imagine, like, you know, you come to work and you're just like, you know, you're just like, ah, can everybody just, like, your job is kind of pretty simple. It's like help people put their bags over their head, sit people down, roll out some snacks 2-3 times. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that they do behind the scenes, you know, before I get on the plane, after I get off the plane. But from what I see is that, like, my job is not to make their job any harder. You know, I just sit in my seat, put my seatbelt on, you know, put my seat up when I know the plane is about to land so they don't have to, you know, tap me and remind me. Don't stand up as soon as the plane lands so that we can taxi comfortably. You know, just make the job and then get off. Walk off and go about my day. I couldn't imagine refusing to breastfeed a cat. Like, why would you even think that would be okay? And why, I couldn't imagine the person sitting next to them. Like, I'd be like hitting that button like, bing, ding, 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 excuse me. Now get out of here. That's like, there's only a few times that I think like, you know, hitting the button, the snitching on people is okay. There's a few situations. It's that one, and I would probably snitch on myself. So there was an individual who found $1 million worth of cocaine floating in the Florida Keys. And, like, I feel like, all right, so this is, I feel like, you know, this is why you listen to shows. Like, I feel like this is one of those things where you're like, oh, $1 million worth of cocaine, perfect. That's just how I can, you know, like, we're always talking about how, you know, income inequality, wealth inequality is so big in this country. Like, that seems like a great opportunity. But I feel like if I found $1 million, the first thing I would do is give it back to police. Like, I feel like, or give it to the police. I would want, or probably maybe not even touch it. Like, I would want as little to do with that cocaine as possible. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, if you found $1 million worth of cocaine, what would you do with it? Like, in reality, like, the first thing I would do, anything I would do would scare the shit out of me. You know what I mean? Like, that I just feel there's no real good thing to do besides ignore it, which I feel might be the best option. But then you have to hope that nobody saw you ignore it. And I couldn't live with that kind of stress. But this, like, I also couldn't imagine giving the police officers $1 million worth of cocaine. I wouldn't want police officers to have $1 million worth of cocaine. It's like, that would be like giving a grizzly bear cocaine. Like, why would I give this grizzly bear cocaine? Like, of course, he's probably going to do it. And maybe not directly, but indirectly make my life a little harder. Because I grew up in Maryland. And if you have read anything about the police officers there and the things that they do with cocaine is they find a way to leave it on the street, you know? And I just feel like Florida cops are more like cousins, you know, to Baltimore cops than complete differences, you know, if that makes any sense. When we get back, we're going to talk about a story that gets recycled every year. And we probably should be caught up by now. Like, I feel like that's the kind of the theme of sometimes stories. It's like, oh, this crazy wild shit should shock you, but it won't when we get back. You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, this story, it's one of those stories that I feel like it happens every year. And part of the problem, I feel, is that we read stories, you know, and we don't connect them to the bigger picture. We find ourselves so disconnected and living these very individual, you know, like single cellular lives that we fail to make these connections and see like, oh, maybe these are not just separate issues. Anyways, so the story is a black couple is suing real estate appraiser after home got higher valuation when white friends pretended they owned it. First, if you are listening to this radio show and you happen to be my friend, you also happen to be white, I might ask you to do this in the future. So I hope that you are willing, as the least you could do, to pretend to own my home so I can sell it for just a little bit more. Anyways, because you got to do these types of things. You know, we got to get creative to end racism. A black couple has filed a housing discrimination lawsuit in California saying that an appraiser lowballed their valuation because of their race. The first appraisal estimated that their Marin County home cost $995,000, while the second time their house was appraised at $1.48 million. Listen, that is 33%, 50% difference in the valuation of their home. That is insane. Like, one of the things that makes me, like, if I ever do my PhD, like, I would do my PhD on the economics of racism. Just the idea, like, how much money does racism cost black people continuously? Day after day. Like, on the average, in a lifetime, how much money would you have lost from just being black? It is so fucked up. You talk about like the fraud, you know, like the everlasting grift of anti-blackness. It is sick. Anyways, and it's you know, this appraiser. It's like this appraiser. Appraisers are paid a flat fee. It's like, damn, you just don't even give a shit. You know what I mean? Like that. It's not even like this person is going to make money off of the fact that this is appraised for way less. It's just that their blindness in their, you know, can't allow them to see. Anyways, what they did after is Paul and Tanisha Austin asked their white friend to act as a house owner. They got rid of anything that would reveal the home was owned by a black family, like artwork and photographs to help sell the roofs. Like, I wonder, did they get rid of the washcloths, you know, and did they go, like, what other things did you have to get rid of that you might not notice? You know, did they maybe add a mat on the front, you know, like that? Maybe a doormat, maybe, like, I'm wondering, what are some of the other things that are a little different, you know, like, did they change the smell of incense? You know, I don't know. I wonder what they had to do to like make the house less black. And I wonder where they put all the stuff, you know. And anyways, they had a conversation and they brought some, their white friends brought some pictures of their family and then was appraised. Like, I just can't imagine like the, like, what did the appraiser do? I guess they had to go get a different appraiser from a different from the same company. I just couldn't imagine, like, the appraiser, like, going back to the same house, like, days later and looking at this white family and being like, oh, the real owners are back. Great. That'll be $1.48 million. What a dumbass, you know. And the king of dumbasses. Like, I don't know if we should be talking. Like, so there's actually a pretty sad story that I want to touch on quickly. Is that because a lot of people, I think people who listen to me, I don't know if COVID denier, I don't know if COVID denier is the right word, but there's a Santa shortage. So, like, if you are somebody who listens to me and you maybe resemble Santa, and maybe you are like, you know what, like, I've already got COVID and I'm natural immunity or whatever, or maybe you got the vaccine and you feel uncomfortable, and, you know, maybe go apply to the mall and be Santa, you know what I mean? Go get a Santa job, because there's a shortage of Santas, and, you know, we can't have the kids finding out that their parents buy them their presents. We can't do it. Anyways, king of dumbasses, Jussie Smollett. So I don't know if you guys remember, but around 2 years ago, I think it's 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, Jussie Smollett said he was beat up in Chicago, and somebody put a noose around his neck, and he was called a nigger, and he had this staged this fake attack on himself, allegedly. And I feel like that was like one of those things. I remember that because it was one of those things where, as the details started to reveal themselves, it was really my black friends who were like, "I don't know about Jussie Smollett. This shit sounds made up." And, you know, my white progressive friends who I saw reposting things in support of Jussie Smollett and this racist attack that happened to him. And I feel like this is sometimes where there's nuance in understanding race relations, you know. And I talk about this all the time, particularly at work, where people bring up things that they perceive to be racist, which I agree are racist. But they make me laugh because, I mean, we laugh on this show about some racist shit because sometimes shit is so ridiculous, you just got to laugh at it. And that's what this has turned into, because if you're following this story, which is, you know, I mean, another story, and why is this such a big deal? Anyways, we follow the story. You just hear Jussie Smollett take the stand. You're just like, bro, what are you doing? He, like, it seems like this man is touched, you know, and he needs help. He doesn't need this public display of stupidity, which is highly entertaining. But they're going to put this man in jail, in like the jailiest of jails, for making a mockery of Chicago Police Department. And the police department knew it was fake, but they were still collecting overtime on his behalf. I feel like Jussie should have to pay all of that, just for acting stupid. And the dummy of the week is the plumber who found, how much money did he find again? Oh, he found $600,000 in the walls of the megachurch, of Joel Osteen's megachurch. And he gave it back, and he was gifted $20,000 to the unidentified plumber. And that is a nice gift. That's far less than the 10% I would have tied to Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen's church in Houston. The same church that, if you don't remember, when Hurricane Harvey hit, that he closed the doors to. He did open the doors this time, but that's because he learned his lesson. After the first time, he shut his doors on the people at church. Shutting his doors on the people, not surprised. Anyways, this plumber, I guess you probably feel good about that $20,000. You would have felt better about keeping that $600,000. Like, the difference between finding $600,000 in the wall and finding $1 million worth of cocaine is so vastly different. I can't express. I find $600,000 in the wall, nobody would ever know that I had $600,000 in the wall. It would just never, people would never find out. $1 million worth of cocaine. There's literally no good way to get rid of it. That is your advice for this Tuesday. You've listened to Off the Beaten Path. Listen, Tuesday is the night. Crimes and Treasons, 8 to 10 every Tuesday. Then tune in to Off the Beaten Path, 10 to 11. So from 8 to 11 on Tuesdays, your night is set. And when you listen to Crimes and Treasons, you'll find out about all of the events that are going on throughout the week, Wednesday through next Sunday. Have a great weekend. Stay dry. I'm out.
And ADD.
And many, many more topics we explore and cover.
But where?
On CITR's All Access Pass.
A unique and collectively run show on equity, inclusion, and creating awareness for people of all abilities in BC and around the world.
Catch us every other Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 4.
If you want more info or want to get involved, please find us on Facebook or send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer.